because we look on the fact that God wants all men to be saved. We look on the other fact that God is calling all men and women. And today, we move on to the fact that God has made a provision for the salvation of every man that has ever lived. That is, from the first man and woman to the person who is being born today. When that boy or girl become an adult, salvation, enough salvation in Christ, or enough grace in Christ, is there to save that man or that woman. Romans chapter 5 John chapter 3 verse 16. Literally everybody in this audience can quote John 3:16. For God so that he gave his only begotten Son, notice this now, that whosoever means all, everyone, that's right, whosoever believe. And that is a fact. No man or woman who comes to the Almighty God meeting Christ's condition will ever be turned away by God. God will never say that salvation and grace and forgiveness has run out. Whosoever believe in him should not perish. Look at Romans chapter 5 again. Look at verse 9 and 10.
Much more than.
Wait. This is the chapter of much more. Look at it. Look at verse 9 and 10. Read.
Much more than.
Much more than.
Being now justified by his blood.
Being now justified by his blood.
We shall be saved from the wrath through him.
We shall be saved. That is, from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. That's verse 9. Verse 10.
For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son.
We were reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ.
Much more.
Here again, verse 10 is another much more. Much more than.
Being reconciled. We shall be saved by his life.
We shall be saved by his life. That verse 10?
End of 10.
Okay, step down to verse 15.
But not as the offense, so also is the free gift.
That's right. Read.
For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of...
And again, verse 15 is another much more. Verse 17.
For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one.
If by one man's offense,
death reigned by one.
Death reigned by one.
Much more.
Here again, in the same chapter. Much more, that's verse 17. Step down to verse 20.
Moreover, the law entered. That the offense might abound.
But where sin abound.
Grace did much more.
Here again, abound. Much more. Do you know these much more are significant? what the passage, what the Holy Spirit, what Paul is trying to show, whatever Satan and sin has brought about, God's grace is going to bring much more. Much more. If you ever want to look for much more in the Bible, just turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 17, verse 15, and verse 20. Much more. And it's all about the superiority, the abundance of grace of God in Christ over sin and Satan's work. Much more. There will never... Are we there? Read verse 20 again.
Moreover, the law entered
that
the offense might abound.
You need to understand this. Very important principle here. The law entered that the offense may grow. The law entered. That is the Old Testament system. When it entered, it opened the eyes of men and women to let them realize that they are doing wrong. Things that they were doing before the law came and their conscience didn't bother them. When the law came, they realized, oh my God, all along, it's just like you're on a neighbor. There was no wall there. You walk over, you pick mango, you pick orange at will. But finally the man put up a wall and you have to step over. Each time you step over, you are reminded that you are entering somebody's property. That's the way the law comes in. The law comes in and thereby makes sin really look like what it is. Sinful. Read, brother.
Offense might abound.
Uh-huh.
But where sin abounded.
But wait. Wherever sin look not. Wherever the law makes sin look big, God's grace in Jesus Christ is really bigger. There will never be so much sin that there is not enough grace to deal with it. That's what the verse is talking about. But I'm not true. There will never be more sin than grace can manage.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'm not true. There will never be so much or so many sinners that there is not enough grace to forgive all of them in Christ. Are we there? I'm not true. Satan, sin, and the law can never make demand on God's grace or God's justice that grace in Jesus Christ cannot address it. If every man and every woman who has ever been born and grown to be adult come to God's throne of mercy seeking grace. I mean everyone. From the beginning of time, once God's conditions are met, the Almighty God's grace account in Christ that God set up is inexhaustible. You talk about rich country? No country on earth is so rich that its resources cannot be exhausted. Put that another way, no, Brother Mitchell. Every country, however rich, that which makes them rich can run out. But not so with the grace of God in Christ. And that is what Romans is about. Brothers and sisters, whatever sin has brought, grace has brought much more. Are we there? Are we there? Whatever we derived from Adam, all the curse, all the sin, all the bad ways, are we there? We will derive much more from Jesus Christ if we obey Him and follow Him. But could you give me a little time to help you understand the subject of grace more? Because grace is sometimes misunderstood. It's misunderstood in the large church. It's misunderstood especially in the denominational world. Grace is not only something one receives. Grace must be accessed and be obeyed. Let us spend a little time on grace. What meaning of grace, Brother Mitchell, always remember. It is not, you see, we usually cut it short. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. That is partially right, but it has not gone far enough. Grace is not only God's unmerited favor, it is God's undeserved favor. So you have two things here. You have something that we don't deserve at all. It should not be bestowed upon people like we. Undeserved. And secondly, it is unmerited. Mean we may work for it. We couldn't work for it. But grace is not only the undeserved and unmerited favor of God, as I have said. It must be received. God's redemptive grace, again, is not only something we receive, it's something that must be obeyed. God's grace must be accessed. I'll soon throw some passage at you, passage I know you have read, and ask you when you read it, what came to you. If you and I are going to benefit from God's grace, you and I must first access God's grace. Are we there? Now, one person trying to make it more understanding or whatever. One person cut up grace like this. Okay, I think this one right. A person makes it, okay, of course you have. Remember, redemptive, God's redemptive grace. The person went on to talk about God's accession. A-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N-E-D. Accession. Yes, accession grace. And God possessory grace. All these. Okay, God's redemptive grace, God's accession grace, God possessory grace. And somebody may say, well, isn't it redemptive grace? To tell you the truth, I would put all of that as redemptive grace. I'm going to show you something here. It's important. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Let us have it read. Romans 5, 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of
God. You're listening? We stand in God's grace. That's what Christianity means. I'm going to let the brother read it again. And then I'm going to ask you this question after it is read. Over the months, years, when you read this passage, what comes to you when you read the word access? I make it access. One person make it accession. A-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N-E-D. Accessioned grace. Read it again.
By whom also we have access.
By whom also we have access. Wait now. May I get your attention here now? What does that mean? Is it access to God? Is it access to Christ? Is it access to forgiveness? Is it access to hope? What does it mean? Have you ever given it thought when you read that? It comes down, whatever it is, by whom we have access. Is it access to God? Then if it is access to God, it's talking about the grace of God. Is it access to Jesus Christ? If that is what it's talking about, it's about the grace of God. Is it access to forgiveness? It's about the grace of God. Is it access to hope? It is about the grace of God. Is it access to fellowship with God? It's about the grace of God. So, when the brother, even though I still make everything redemptive grace, but the brother who cut it up like this, it's not wrong. Grace must be accessed. I'm going to show you. Should I go there yet? Somebody said yes. Well, since you say yes, let me go there. And that is Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Let us have it. Let us have it.
Titus chapter
2 and verse 11.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that. The grace of God that does what?
Bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Some men.
All men.
Only the Christian.
Hath appeared to all men.
Did everybody get that? Huh? Why are not all men and women saved? Here is where the problem lies. They have not accessed. They have not appropriated God's grace. They no grab it up. They no run and take it. So, this business of accessioned grace is important. Are we there? Grace must be. Did you notice the passage of Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 that tells us, listen it again. You let that
by whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
You hear that? We have access by faith. We have access into this grace, and it is access by what?
By faith.
Faith. That faith includes all that faith implies. Repentance, baptism. Yes! So, grace must be accessed. Wait. The grace of God, the same grace that brings health here, salvation has appeared to some men.
All men.
Most men. All men. Only the Christian. It has appeared to all men. But all men and women are not saved. Haven't we been told that we are saved by grace? Huh? You have never read that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 5 and verse 8? Let us have it. Let us have it. Let us have it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Everybody get that? We are saved by grace. Am I right, Brother Webb?
That's correct.
Yes. Down to verse.
For by grace are ye saved.
No. You hear the statement? But hear now.
By grace are ye saved.
Watch it up. By grace. That's a fact. God's grace has appeared to all men. That's another fact. But then there is a problem there. I'm not saved. See, we come right back to this. All men do not access God's grace. When it says that the grace of God, it means that the Almighty God has made His grace, His kindness available to all men. But then the ball is now in our court. Wait, that includes you. If you are here today, it includes you. That's right. God's grace is available to you. It's just up to you to take it. But Mr. Mitchell, I don't know how to take it. The Bible tells you that it's true faith. But that faith doesn't mean, as I'm going to show you in a little while, just merely believe. In fact, we're getting to that in a little while. That's right. God's grace must be what? The Bible tells us that. Tells us we access it. That is, we appropriate it. We make hold on it through faith. That is also the obedience that comes with true faith. Are we there? Let me show you something in the book of Jonah and the book of Isaiah. Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. I'm sorry that one of you brothers who are going to read don't have one of the modern translations that would bring out Jonah and Isaiah. I'm just showing you, helping you to understand grace a little better. That's right. Brother Mitchell, redemptive grace. Which one are that again? The salvation, the forgiveness, the kindness, the love, the mercy which the Almighty God has shown to all men in Jesus Christ. That is redemptive grace. Accessioned grace. That is, you have accessed it. You have made it yours, and when you make it yours, it becomes possessory grace. You are possessing. It's not a part of your part of it. But what you know? Where did I send you? I didn't send you any. Yes, man, I sent you somewhere. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. And I, well, you have a if you have the King James, that's okay with me. Glad. Let us hear verse 8 of the book of Jonah. Why do we come here? To help you see how grace works. Let us hear it.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
Read it again.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
You all hear that? One modern translation puts it like this. Get it now? Those who cling to idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. I like that. How did he put it? They that cling to idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So you see, grace can be within your reach, but you forfeit it. You get the point? Listen, Isaiah now, chapter 26, verse 10.
Let favor be showed to the wicked.
Wait, you know, the word grace means favor. So when I give you a modern translation, I'm going to just drop the word grace, because that's exactly what the text is talking about. Read, Brother Blaise.
Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness.
Wait. Everyone was listening? Huh? A more modern translation puts it like this. Though grace be shown to the wicked, he has not turned to righteousness. You get it? So, all of this is pointing out that grace must be accessed. That's right. Yeah. Brothers, watch, you know, the Bible states the many ways we are saved by grace. That's right. Listen how the Bible word it in many different ways. The Bible tells us by hope. Romans chapter 8 verse 24. We're not going to read this. The Bible tells us that we are saved by belief. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. We're not going to read that. The Bible tells us that we are saved by the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 and 2. The Bible tells us that we are justified by faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. The Bible tells us that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. All these expressions are these varied expressions stating by what we are saved. It's saying that we are saved by grace. For example, when the Bible says we are saved by hope, that means we are saved by God's grace. We are saved by belief. We are saved by God's grace. We are saved by the gospel. We are saved by God's grace. We are justified by the blood of Christ. We are saved by God's grace. We are justified by faith. We are saved by God's grace. That's right. That's what it comes from too. Well, let me come down now. That's right. Let me come down now. Ooh, grace. It's important that we understand.
Are we here? You are not here?
In Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. Let us hear it quick. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. Genesis 6 8.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
May I? It's important. You see, those of us brothers who teach, brothers and sisters who teach, and it's important that some of these principles that you learn them. What did that say? And Noah found
grace in the, in the eyes of the Lord.
This was before he built the ark. Watch here now. Did you know that even though the Bible just tells us that Noah found grace in God's eyes, if Noah had not obeyed by building the ark, died and destroyed. But it says he found grace in God's sight. It is by obeying that he's going to grace is. You all get it? That's right. In the book of Acts of the Apostles 24 and 32. Listening. Quick, brother. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 and verse 32.
Acts chapter 20.
Yeah.
And now, brethren.
Listen to it. And now, brethren.
I commend you to God. And to the word of his grace.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. To what?
To the word of his grace.
What is that, Brother Mitchell? Every precept of the gospel is the word of God's grace. Wait. When you and I deal scripturally with the communion, we are dealing with the word of God's grace. When we speak about faith, we are dealing with words of God's grace. When we talk about repentance and sin, we are talking about words of God's grace. When we're talking about baptism for the remission of sin, we are talking about words of God's grace. Every precept of the gospel is part of that words of God. Verse.
Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
Here again, the word of his grace. That means every aspect of the gospel preached and taught them, those comprise words of God's grace.
Which is able to build you up.
You hear that? You are today listening to the words of God's grace. Every Sunday, morning, Sunday, night, Wednesday, when God's word is taught here, it is words of God's
grace. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
May I? I referred to this a while ago, some time ago in the lesson. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we are told that we access the grace of God through faith. Yes, it's there. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. Then secondly, I remind you that the Bible, Titus chapter 2 verse 11, tells us that the grace of God has appeared to some men. All men and women have access to God. Reach, but you must do something about it. Look here now, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. What did it say? How we access grace? By faith. And that means all that faith entails
not just mental belief. Here is a good example. The great
when they want, brother?
Did you know, brother, where that not believe his faith?
I know you know it.
That's right.
Wait. Notice. You know, listen carefully. Sorry, man, I'm about to finish, and you're getting the brat right here, so please cherish it.
Remember what we're on. That God's grace is accessed by obedient faith. Are by faith and all that faith entails.
This is why the grace of God that brings salvation, it appears. That is within the reach of every man, but every man and woman is not saved because they do not have the type of obedient faith. So here is an example of obedient faith that accesses God's grace. The brother is reading it. When they believe. That's what the Bible says, brother. That's all you have. Huh?
When they believe. Let them make it. Instead of this. Now make it because I can believe. When they believe. That means when they have faith.
That's the word of God's grace. You see, everybody gets it. The Bible says that you access grace by faith. Here you have it at work. When they believe, if the belief is genuine, it's going to carry with it not only faith, it's going to carry repentance,
yes,
confession,
right,
and baptism.
That's right.
They were baptized, both men and women.
They were baptized. One last illustration to start and nail it home. Good, and make sure you leave here. Yes, redemptive grace. That which God has given. Accession grace. The part that man played. Possessory grace. When you have it and it is yours. But now, ladies and gentlemen, somebody left some money for you. That's right, I know I'll get your attention here. Woo! Somebody, let me get something back. Right? Somebody, okay, left $50 million for you. Huh? Woo! That's right. That's not grace, you know. The money is left at a law firm in Negril. Man died, I'm stipulate $50 million. You're glad when you heard about how much was left for you. Watch me now. But the man did not only leave the $50 million for you. The man also left in his arrangement that a limo and a plus a driver come and to take you to where the money is. Do you quarrel with the color of the lemon? When that black or white or blue lemon drives up, Are you foolish enough to say, me no like that color, you know? Somebody would take you to bend you. Whatever the color, the fact that it is a lemon, it is chauffeur driven, surely enough. It will take you to how much million, you can't finish that. Faith is God's lemon. Repentance is God's lemon. Confession is God's lemon. Baptism is God's lemon. Wait, what do you mean, Brother Mitchell? They take you to where the blessings are. It's all right. That's why faith, repentance, confession, they are unto. Am I right? When a man argue with repentance or baptism, what is in the water? That person is as foolish and idiot. The man has said, why did he send a white limo? You crazy? You get my point? So, faith is a part of God's grace. In the same way, the limo is a part of the man's kindness and consideration. Repentance is a part of God's grace. We must never look on it as burden and obstacle. You know, I'm going to stop preaching right now. Grace. The abundance of God's grace, much more. Whatever Satan and sinners brought, Jesus Christ and God's grace in Him has brought more. Today you can lay hold on the grace of God. Don't walk away today if you're here having never been baptized. To get in Christ, you can become a Christian today. If you are here today as a Christian who have backslidden, grown and faithful, remember the passages in Jonah that even though grace is shown, the grace can be forfeited. Today, you can access the grace of the Almighty God through Christ. Sin will never become so plentiful that there is not sufficient grace in Christ to deal with it. Grace is available to you today as we stand.